Hey there, I am so excited to let you know that my upcoming book, Building Your Money Machine, is available for pre-order. Now, you might say, why do I want a pre-order book that I'm not going to get until June 11th, 2024, when it comes out? Here's why. First off, it's going to get you access to a whole handful of wealth resources that you can't get anywhere else. They will go away. These are special resources, trainings and tools and templates that allow you to implement them into your life, to get financial freedom started in your life. The whole idea behind this book is to light the path to financial freedom so you get the chance to live a life of choice, not a life of need. To be able to choose what you do, when you want to do it, with whom you want to do it with. And yet we seem to not want to talk about financial freedom or money or wealth because we demonize it. But the fact is that it's just a tool. And if we use the tool correctly, we have a richer lifestyle, but we have a deeper impact. People's lives are better. And I want to have that conversation. And I want to have it frankly. I want to have it openly. I want to give you the step-by-step process to get yourself the financial freedom. And that's what this book does for you. It's about getting your money to work harder for you than you did for it. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to yourmoneymachinebook.com. Check out the wealth resources that you get for free, but they're going to expire. So you need to pre-order the book today, put your information in, and then we'll make sure that we get you the resources to get you on the road and on the path to financial freedom. And until I get a chance to see you on the road or see you on that path, always, always strive to live a life that outlives you. See you soon. Hey there, Mel Abraham here, the author of the number one best-selling book, The Entrepreneur Solution, and the founder of Thoughtpreneur Academy, where we teach you how to brand yourself based on your wisdom, your knowledge, your expertise, so you can have greater impact, greater income, and greater freedom. So welcome to this episode of The Entrepreneur Solution Show. This one is going to be kind of unusual. We're going to be talking and answering a question. Is it time for you to quit your job? So here's the thing. One of the most often questions I get as I travel the country and the world speaking on entrepreneurship, thoughtpreneurship, becoming an influencer is, how do I go from sidepreneur, in other words, doing it for part-time, to entrepreneur? At what point do I quit my job? Should I just quit my job? And so I'm going to give you a framework. Yes, a framework, a process, a system, a way to analyze it, and a way to do it safely. Obviously, there's always risk, but entrepreneurs, in fact, this is one of the things that I don't agree with most people, is they say, oh, entrepreneurs are risk takers. No, they're not. They're risk mitigators. We analyze things, we look at things, and we're very strategic in how we do things. So it's not about taking on risk. It's about weighing the risk against the benefit and the reward before we move forward. That's really the key behind it. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about something that I call the Entrepreneur Transition Formula. You can get the action guide right here, melabraham.com. Just go to melabraham.com/session093. Download the action guide. It'll walk you through some of the processes we're going to talk about today. If you're not at your computer, if you are out running or driving or something, I want you to be safe. But just text me and I'll send you the download link. Text me, my legacy, one word, to 38470. We'll make sure that we get that to you. So let's jump in right now. Let's talk about this whole thing of, when do I quit my job? Because this is something that a lot of folks struggle with, is what do I need to do? And how do I do this? And when do I do this? And so let's jump in. Here's the thing. If we don't get this right, here's what I see happening, is that ultimately you find yourself living this dual existence, this dual life, this place where during the day you're doing what you need to do to pay the bills. And you're struggling to get through the days. I don't know, maybe you're feeling that way right now, is where you're sitting back saying, I'm serving the time, I'm putting in the work, and I got to do it because I got bills to pay. And totally get that. And then at night, you got this passion project, this thing that just juices you, that excites you, that really fulfills you, that you're trying to get moving. And so it's in fits and starts. So if we don't get this right, you're living this dual existence which I think is a challenge. I don't think that it's sustainable in the long term because you have this incongruence, this friction, if you will, in your life because of the fact that you're living two existences. So that's the first thing that happens if you don't get this right. The other thing that I see happening is that you're focusing on earning money. And I get it. Everything we do and everything I teach has a commercial angle to it. And what I mean by commercial angle is that it is about making money. But really, it's about the money you make because of the impact you have. Impact is what the leading element is. I want to lead with impact. I want to lead with transformation. I want to lead with making a difference in people's lives. I don't care what your product, what your service is, as an entrepreneur, as a thoughtpreneur, as an influencer, as a market leader, you have one responsibility, and that is to improve the human condition. That's it. Whether it's through your services, whether it's through your products, whether it's through your writings, whether it's through your speaking, whether it's through your videos, no matter what it is. The challenge is if we don't get this right, you're focused on just earning. And I get it. So we got to get the bills paid. So I want to be realistic about this. We got to get the bills paid. So sometimes we do have to focus on earning. We just got to figure out how do we find the joy in it. Because if all we're focused on earning is there's no joy in the earnings. And I want to make sure that you have the joy in the process, the joy in the journey. And that's really how I look at it. That the joy is actually not at the destination. The joy is embedded in the journey when we get you on the right journey. This is one of the reasons that I do what I do, is because I look at what happens to people. When I can help you take what you know, take the ideas that you have, and bring them to life that juices you, because you're making a difference in other people's lives, is huge. It's far greater of value to you than the earnings that come from it. And because you're impacting people's lives at a high level, the earnings that come from it are high. So that's the second thing that happens if we don't get it right. The third thing that happens if we don't get it right is that you find yourself in no or low cash flow. In other words, you're doing some things that are a passion, but you're doing these other things, and because you're divided, you're not focused on some of the things that need to get done, and so you ultimately are not making money at it. And in that process, what happens is we're slowly planting the seeds of uncertainty. Well, I'm not making money at this, so maybe it's just not going to work, and maybe I should give it up. Well, you're not making money at it primarily because you're not focused on it and you're just doing it in fits and starts. It's really hard to really make a good living, to position yourself distinctly, uniquely as a market leader, as an influencer in the space, if you're doing it in fits and starts. So that's the third thing that happens. But what happens if we get this right? When we really figure out what does it take to transition properly from this jobpreneur, if you will, to thoughtpreneur, to entrepreneur. What does it take to do that? When we get this right, here's the kind of cool thing that ultimately happens. We feel like we're in flow, all right? I mean, it's like this dance that you're going back and forth and you feel like you're in flow. I look at what I am blessed to do. I just came back from speaking at a mastermind of a good friend of mine and getting a chance to speak, whether it's a large group. I've had the fortunate opportunity to speak to small groups, handfuls of people, you know, 10 people or less, and to large groups where there's thousands of people in the audience. And the feeling to be able to be out there and doing that, to affect people's lives in a positive way, to give them direction, to give them hope, to bring possibility back in their lives, just energizes me. I mean, I sit here today with this camera on and this recorder to record each of my episodes, and it's a joy. It's actually a ton of fun for me because I know on the other end of it is you. And I know what happens if you take the principles, the tools, the tactics, the strategies that I'm giving you and put them into play, because I've seen them come to life, not only in my life, I mean, I feel blessed with my life, but also in my clients' lives, to my friends' lives, because what they've had the opportunity to do is take this and put it out there and live life by their own design, by their own desire, in their own way. And so it really feels like it flows when we get this right. The second thing that happens is that you're monetizing your passion. I mean, what better way to make a living than monetizing your passion? It's you're creating money, you're creating a living, you're creating a life based on what you enjoy doing. I can't think of a better way to make a living and make a life from something than from something that you absolutely love doing. Because if you look at it that way, you would probably do it at no charge because it's something you love doing. But we're not going to do that because I want this to be commercially viable for you. The idea here is to serve other people at the highest level, to give them the greatest impact, the greatest transformation in their life that gives you the life that you want by your own design. And then the third thing is that you find freedom in cash flow. Freedom and cash flow. Think about this. And you've heard me say this before. When we released The Entrepreneur's Solution, we hit a number one bestseller on Barnes & Noble. We hit the bestseller list on USA Today. We moved 16,000 books in a couple of weeks. And so here we were putting a best-selling book out there. It was the same year that I was blessed to be able to take 93 days off, a quarter of the year off to spend traveling the world with my beautiful bride. And I tell you this not to impress you, but to impress upon you that the ability to have the freedom to do the things you want to do because you chose to live life a different way, chose to take the concepts, the strategies, the tactics, and put them into play. So now we understand what happens if we don't get it right. We also understand what happens if we do get it right. So the question we got to ask ourselves, well, in order to get it right, what are the things you need to know? So here's the key things. I want to give you at least three things here to focus in on that are going to help you move this forward. And then we'll jump into a process. I'll give you a framework that I work through with my clients and with myself originally when I was starting to move in this direction. So look at this. The first thing is this, is to understand that there's a difference between being committed and being reckless. What do I mean by that? I remember that I was speaking at a conference and there was 600 people there and I got off stage and then I got rushed off stage and a lot of people came to me and this one person, this young lady came in and she said to me, "You know what, Mel? I love what you had to say. It totally juiced me. It's exactly what I needed to hear, and it's exactly what I need to really put the wheels on and move this thing forward. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm jumping into your program. I'm working with you. Doesn't matter what it is. I'm going to work with you, and I'm going home this weekend, and Monday morning, I'm quitting my job." And I'm going, wait a second. All right? The thing is this. There's a difference between being committed and reckless. I'm not here to convince you to quit your job. I'm actually here to convince you to make a choice that's intentional in your life. Whatever fits. There is no judgment on me. I don't think everyone wants to be an entrepreneur. My wife doesn't necessarily want to be an entrepreneur. She just does amazing, amazing stuff in her own right. She's in management. She runs teams. She builds teams. She's an incredible, incredibly bright, articulate woman. But she doesn't really necessarily want to be an entrepreneur, at least not at this point. I still have some years left to convince her. But the thing is that what I don't want people to do is to just think that, oh, well, then I just got to burn the boats at the shore. Well, there's a difference between doing that. Yeah, that shows commitment, but also maybe shows recklessness. Because what happens if you have a family that's depending on you? You have bills that need to get paid. You've got debt that needs to be satisfied. And then you turn around and say, well, I'm quitting because I'm going to follow my dreams. Well, because Mel told me so. Well, let me be clear. Mel's not telling you to quit your job. I'm telling you to create a transition plan that's responsible based on your circumstances. Be committed to that transition plan, not recklessly just saying, I'm burning their ships and off I go. Now, granted, some people have done it and have made a tremendous success out of doing it. I just happen to not think that that's necessary. I think we can do it a better way, and I'm going to give you that transition plan to do that. The second principle to understand is this, is that I want you to plan and test. So before we make this transition, We're going to be testing. We're going to be planning. We're going to be strategizing. We're going to be putting things in place. We're going to be getting feedback. So when we make that launch, when we make that move, we're at the highest probability state that we're going to be successful, that we know that we've got a lot of things in place because of the feedback and the things that we've done, that the likelihood that we're going to be successful is higher. Remember I said that entrepreneurs, some people think that entrepreneurs are risk takers. They're not. They're risk mitigators. In other words, we're going to look at things, we're going to plan things, we're going to test things so we can reduce the risk as low as possible before we start moving forward. Listen, business is really easy. And some of you have seen me talk about this in what I call my analyst framework, is that business is easy. You got to manage two things. You got to manage the downside. In other words, reduce the risk, and you got to maximize the upside, which means increase the opportunities. If we can manage those things effectively, we're doing well. And that's what entrepreneurs and thoughtpreneurs do, is that we plan, we test, we reduce risk, and then we move forward. And then the third principle to understand is what I call set your scale threshold. And this is what I mean by this, is that not everyone has the same transition point. That there's a tipping point where you can say, now's the time. And maybe today is that time for you. I don't know. Maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe it's a year from now. It depends on your circumstances. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we get into the framework and as we start to pencil this thing out. But what I want you to realize is that at some point, we're going to set a scale threshold. It's that tipping point. It's that line that when you step over it, you've started the journey. You've started the transition. So those are the three principles to understand, to think about. First off is to realize that there's a difference between committed and being reckless. I want you to plan and test, and we're going to decide and determine what the proper scale threshold is for you. So if that's what we need to know, how do we make it happen? And I want to take you through the process of what I call the entrepreneur transition formula. I'm going to give you the framework. In order to do that, we're going to jump to the iPad. I'm going to draw this thing out. I want you to follow along. I'm going to ask you some questions. There's going to be some things that you need to complete as you do this. And you may have to reflect on it in order to get this done. That's fine. I want you to take the time. I want you to do this the right way. So let's jump to the iPad. And let's get in to the entrepreneur transition formula. All right, so let's jump into this, the entrepreneur transition formula. As I said, there's three phases that you're going to go through in this entrepreneur transition formula. And the first phase is really about your preparation. The second phase, so we're going to prepare first, and I'll give you the criteria. There's three steps in each of these phases that I want you to understand. So the second piece is once we've gone through the preparation phase, there's the evaluation phase. Okay, the evaluation phase. So we're going to prepare first. I'll give you that. We're going to evaluate what that preparation has set us up. Now we move. Now we move. That's what I call the execution phase. Okay. Here's the thing. If we look at this and we do this right, what you're going to see is that the preparation phase is really about your thinking. Okay? And if that's about your thinking, the evaluation phase is about your analyzing. Okay, so we're going to do some analysis. Thinking, analyzing, the last phase, execution, is really about doing. Now we're going to get out there and do it. Here's how this plays out, how I see this playing out in our world. If we get the preparation and the evaluation piece of it correct, what ultimately happens is that you're going to find some comfort in the process that you're going to walk through. Now, all of a sudden, that transition doesn't seem so scary because you've got a plan in place. When we get the evaluation and the execution correct, what you're going to find is you get clarity. Because here's what happens. We start to evaluate. We start to take action. Action creates clarity. Here's one of the challenges that I think a lot of people, they're afraid to make a decision, is a lot of people have that challenge. I don't want to make a decision. I'm afraid to make the wrong decision. Let me invite you to understand that the decision you make doesn't set everything in stone. It is only a dot on a line. And it's the series of dots that make the line. And so the real key is this, is that we make a choice, we make a decision, so we can get better information to make the next better decision. So through the process of evaluation and execution, we gain clarity. Then the third piece is this, that through the execution and the preparation, we prepare things, we start to ask some questions, and we go out and execute. What we're actually doing is we're living our calling. And that's cool. And so this is really what I think the transition is built on. And this is what I call the entrepreneur's transition formula in order to do that. So what do you need to do specifically in each of these three phases to really make it come to life, to really start to build on this? And so let's look at the preparation phase first. There's three things I want you to focus in on and help start to define. And the action guide, when you download the action guide, kind of walks you through this process in doing it. But let's summarize them here. The first thing is this. On the preparation phase is that we need to understand what you're passionate about, okay? Now, let me clarify something, because what I hear people say is, well, just follow your passion and the money will follow you. Well, honestly, that's a bunch of crap. Sorry about the language. Following your passion doesn't mean money's going to follow you. Listen, I enjoy eating chocolate. If I sit around and eat chocolate all day long, it is not going to make me money. It's not going to do anything but make me fat. All right? So realize that just following your passion isn't enough. Here's how we need to look at it. Creating value in other people's lives with your passion will let the money follow. Okay? So I want to take my passion and figure out how I can use that to shift and change people's lives. Then the money follows. The key is this, is that the greater the impact that we can have, the greater the transformation we can create in other people's lives through our passions, the greater the value will be perceived in the marketplace, the more they'll pay you, the more that your position, you'll see it all fits in. So the first piece is to understand not only your passion, but then the value you can create with your passion. All right. So it's going to take some thinking. It's going to take some reflecting. It's going to take some analyzing, maybe some process of understanding. In fact, I'm going to ask you to do this next piece. And that is the third step of this is to interview. Interview or survey or something. The people you want to serve, what are the things that they are looking for, struggling with, frustrations, their fears, their challenges? What are their obstacles? What are the blocks? What are the things that you might be able to help them with? They may see you differently than you see yourself. They may look at you and say, you know what? It's about this. In fact, one of my clients happened to be sitting in my office one day, and I was working with him to build his business. And his business was growing, and it was ramping up. And he looked at me and said, you know what? There's a couple things I just want to touch base on. One, my business is growing, and thank you for that. It is ramping up. It is growing. I'm leveraging it. I'm having more time. I'm having more fun. All that stuff is working. He says, but there's a piece that you're leaving out. And I said, what's that? He says, I not only want to know how you built your business, I want to understand how you created your life. And that was like a light bulb that went on. I'm going, oh my gosh. So the question, one of the questions you want to really understand about the group that you want to serve is, what do they hunger for? What are the things that they're looking for? What do they see in you that they wish they had in them that you can bring to bear? All right, so this first phase of preparation is focused on you really getting an understanding of what your passions are, how you can create value with those passions, how you can create impact or transformation in other people's lives with those passions, and then testing it out in a sense by talking to the people you want to serve. What are their fears? What are their frustrations? What are their challenges? What are their dreams? What are their aspirations? What are the things they see in you that they want in them? All right. And once you've done that, we can then move to this evaluation stage to really start to build out this next piece, this plan piece of it. And so the first step in this is just that, is to plan. Okay. What I don't want you to do is going out there and say, I got this great idea, and you just go full-fledged without thinking it through. Because there's a ripple effect of it. It's time, it's effort, it's money, it's all kinds of things. Whether you're going to go in and build a website. I just had a conversation with someone that called me up. They were part of one of my groups, and they were gonna, you know, they joined one of my trainings. But before they joined the training, I had a conversation with them, and she had just told me that someone, literally, in my mind, robbed her of $8,000 for a website that didn't even work. So, and if anyone's trying to get $8,000 from you for a website, stop, all right? But here's the thing, is I want you to plan it out. I want you to be strategic. I want you to map it. I want you to understand where your starting point is, what that journey looks like, what that pathway looks like, and be very strategic about it and say, what are the different pieces? There's a couple reasons for that. One, it gives you a visual and a vision of how things are going to go. In fact, you probably see the things behind me. Those are all visual maps of what I do in my business. And I create that and follow through with that because it allows me to understand the pathway and say, all right, what's working, what's not working, where is it working? Here's the other challenge with that, the other good part about that is that it gets me to stay focused on the core elements that will drive that strategy forward. Because it's really easy to get distracted. Some new technology comes out, some new way to post on Facebook, or some new social media platform comes out. And what I don't want you to do is get distracted and diverted. Most of us, the entrepreneurs, thoughtpreneurs, we have the what I call the hummingbird syndrome. So we get distracted easily. So I don't want you to get distracted. That plan will keep you in place doing that. So this first piece of this evaluation is to plan. The second piece is to do what's called a micro launch. My son talks about this too. You'll hear it called by my good friend Jeff Walker a seed launch. My good friend James Wedmore calls it a beta launch. What we want to do is a mini kind of micro step, if you will, where we're saying, all right, we're going to put some of this out there. Let's see what we get back. Let's see the feedback. Let's tweak it. Let's adjust it. Let's do that. So what I don't want you to do is invest a lot of time, effort, and money to build something that you think is going to blow the doors off, and then it lands with a thud. So we want to test it. We want to put our toes in the water. We want to see what the feedback is. We want to adjust it, which leads to that third piece in this phase, which is assess. Okay, so through the planning stages, you're going to run a beta or micro launch. You're going to then assess the feedback from that so you can adjust it before you go back out and do that. And so that leads to this third phase, execution. So in the execution phase is when we start to really put this thing out there. The first part of this, though, is after you've had a chance to go through the preparation and evaluation is to look at the financial viability. I'm an accountant, full-born CPA, this and that. So bottom line is, I need it to be financially viable. If I want to do something as a nonprofit, and it's a misnomer to think that nonprofits don't make money, they do make money, all right? But to do something as a donation is fine, as long as it's a conscious choice. But somehow, that donation has to get funded. So we need something that is a viable commercial option, something that is gonna make money so you can do the donation. So we're not talking about the donation side of this if that's what you wanna do. I want this to be financially viable. Remember, we're talking about you transitioning from jobpreneur, from a job to a thoughtpreneur or an entrepreneur. That means that we need to make sure that you can pay your bills. That means that we need to make sure that not only can you pay your bills, you can build the life that you deserve, build the life that you want, build the life based on the aspirations and the dreams that you hold so near and dear. That's what it's about. So, gonna need to look at it and say, how much can we make? What are they willing to pay? How can we increase the value? What are the things that I can do to make that happen? Once we understand the financial viability of it, then we go to the next piece, and that is to understand, who do you need to make this happen? Now, I am not one of those that says go build out a bunch of overhead, hire a bunch of people, and incur a bunch of fees. That's going to destroy people financially at the early part of your career. Much of what you do, you may have to do yourself because it's the only way to make it financially viable. And then over time, you're going to get a VA, you're going to get an assistant, you're going to outsource, you're going to do some things. But you might need an attorney, you might need an accountant, you might need team members, you might need a graphic design. So list out the team members that you need to make this happen. And make this happen in a big way. It doesn't mean that you're spending a ton of money, because there is, especially in today's world, the boundaries, the threshold to get into this type of a business is almost non-existent. If you have a phone that has a camera on it, you have a computer, you have access to do the things that you need to do to make this happen. You don't need a big studio setup. You don't need all that overhead. Great, at some point maybe you'll put it in there, but I want you to evaluate who you need to make this really work and really fly. Who do you need now? Who do you need next? And who do you need after that? Doesn't mean you're gonna hire them. I just want you to understand who the players may be in this journey with you as you're moving forward. And then the third thing here is this, and that is the scale threshold. What is your scale threshold? And what do I mean by that? I briefly touched on this, and this is the whole thing of the entrepreneur transition formula. And that is this, is that ultimately, each and every one of us are in different positions. So your scale threshold is going to be different than mine, and then the next person's. The question is, what's that tipping point where you say, I've proved the concept, it can make money, it's making enough money right now that I can now turn around and let go of the other business because I'm making good money part-time, all I need to do is dedicate myself full-time, and that money is going to multiply. And so, and it's different for everyone, because think about this. There may be someone that doesn't have a family, they're single, they have an older car that's paid off, so they have very few bills. So their scale threshold, that tipping point where they can let go, is much lower than someone that maybe has a family, that has kids, that has responsibilities. That scale threshold is vastly different. So the question is, at what point do you feel comfortable that a couple things happen? One, you know you can make money at it. Two, you know that if you dedicated more time, you can scale it, that you can multiply the money that you're already making. Three, it will satisfy not only your bills, but your ability to fulfill your dreams and live your aspirations, okay? Those kinds of three things are the place that I want you to start to consider at defining your scale threshold. Now, am I going to give you a number? No, I'm not. Because each one, like I said, is different. Am I going to give you a percentage? Maybe. Here's the deal. I've had some people say, if I can make 30 to 40% of what I'm currently making working this part-time, I know that when I work it full-time, I can kick that into gear pretty quickly. So you plan it out. And you say, all right, how do I accumulate a little more cash from my day job, if you will, while I get this thing up to 30 or 40%? To give me that store of cash to work from as I kick it up and move from that scale threshold. Okay, so hopefully that makes sense to you, is that you understand that the key component here is dependent upon the structure of your life, your expense structure, the responsibilities you have, everything you have. I do not want you to be reckless in this. I want you to be responsible. I want you to think about it and strategize how you can make this happen in a way that reduces the risk and increases of failure and increases the probability of success without putting undue stress and pressure on yourself, your family, and the people around you. And that kind of brings me to this last point before we close this out. And that's this. For instance, in my practice, in my business, my wife is not formally part of the business, but she is. And some of you that are going through this probably have a significant other, you have children, you have a wife or a husband, and you want to make this transition. This is your dream. This is what you want to do. Well, I'm going to invite you. And not only am I going to invite you, I'm going to direct you to have the conversation with them. Those of you that know me know that I don't believe that there's anything such as work-life balance. There's simply life. And if this is your partner in the journey, if this is that person that is special to you, that is supposed to be on that journey with you for the rest of your life, you owe it to them to have this conversation. Say, this is what I'm trying to do. This is what I want to do. And I need you with me. And the way you do that is to invite them in. Now, they may not be part of the business. My wife, like I said, she's a tremendously amazing business and executive in her own right. But we still have conversations about my business, about her business. And we're able to have that dialogue because we share it with each other. And so one of the things that I want to make sure you do is, if you're going to go through this kind of transition, sit down with the people that are near and dear to you, that are special to you, that are going to be part of this journey with you, have the conversation. No matter how challenging it is, how scary it might be, it's better than trying to navigate this without them, and you owe it to them. I really believe that. I think one of the worst things you can ever do in a relationship is to put that wedge in place that seems like a little thing, but it becomes this chasm if we're not careful. So bring them into the game, bring them into the conversation, bring them into the plan, bring them into the micro launch, bring them into the team and the financial viability. Have the conversation. Walk them through the transition formula so they understand it. They're going to give you a different perspective. They might even give you their perspective because they might be scared. And that's okay, because through that fear, you get a chance to analyze it and look at it and say, how do I allay those fears? Because that may make it actually easier for you to be successful, because you're going to identify some possible, because they're looking at alternatives that maybe you're not looking at. So that's it. That's what I want you to do is in this. If you really want to move from job to thoughtpreneur or entrepreneur, this is the transition. You got to prepare for it. You got to evaluate it. You got to execute it. You got to know what your scale threshold is. You got to have deep conversations. You got to be able to analyze, assess, tweak, adjust, be dedicated, be smart in this process, all right? Because ultimately, it's not about being reckless, because recklessness is not the same as committed, as I said. So I hope this serves you. I hope this helps answer the question, is it time to quit my job? Because it may be. Just do it smart. And I'm here to support you. I'm here to help you on this journey. I'm here to help you in this transition or anything that you're trying to do in this process. So if you have a question, if you have a follow-up, just go to askmelnow.com. Leave it for me and let's see what I can do to support you in this process and in this journey. And do me a favor, if you know someone that can get value out of this message or this process, do me a favor, share this with them. Put this out there. Let's get this information out there, because I think that there's a lot of people that are looking for another way. They're looking for a way to live their life by their own terms, and this is the key to transitioning it in a way that's responsible, that's fruitful, that's going to allow them to live their aspirations and serve the people and do it from their passions, what's near and dear to their heart. So do me a favor, share this, and if you have not subscribed now. Stay with me. We're going to have lots of fun. I'm here for you, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Until then, may your vision be grand, your journey epic, and your legacy significant. See you soon. Cheers. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure you subscribe so you get access to all of Mel's business and success tips. And if you like this episode, share it with a friend. If you have a specific business or success question, you can ask it at www.askmelnow.com. Remember, it's all about being bold, dreaming big, and living life your way. Because the world needs you. Until the next episode, may your vision be grand, your journey epic, and your legacy significant.